Oh, it offends me to the soul to hear a robustious, periwig-painted fellow tear a passion to tatters, to very rags, to split the ears of the groundlings, who for the most part are capable of nothing but inexplicable dumb shows and noise.
Well, Hammy, you better hang on to your bear bodkin, because you're going to hate this. It's John Malden, your host of the Inexplicable Dumb Show, starting now.
Hi, and welcome to episode 636 of the Inexplicable Dumb Show. I'm John Malden, and this week I'm joined via Skype by Kyle Odom, director of Tall Tales, out at Woven Theater. So we're going to get into that conversation just after, you guessed it, these brief messages. Would you like to be a pal of the Inexplicable Dumb Show? Why don't you head on over to www.inexplicabledumbshow.com and look for the Hosting Donations Accepted button. Press that and make a donation and help the Dumb Show cover its web hosting fees. Your donation is greatly appreciated. Thank you for your support. Hey, do you want to be part of the Dumb Show? Do you like what you hear? You got a thought about it? You want to express that thought? Then please do so by calling the voicemail line at 615-866-1282 or put your thoughts in an email, podcast@inexplicabledumbshow.com, or follow the show on Twitter @inexplicableds, @inexplicable, D, S. Find out the latest comings and goings and whatnot for the show via our Twitter feed. So, let's get on with the interview.
Hi, I am someone you will probably never meet. Yet I ask you to take time
to think about people you don't know but need your help. Children, some of them. And they don't all play, in the gutter, of course.
Well, maybe if it's called for.
These men, women, and yes, even the children are professional actors. They want and need your time, money, and support.
For just pennies a second, you can enjoy the fruits of their labor. Make sure they know you heard about them on the Inexplicable Dumb Show. They may look at you funny, but that doesn't matter. It's for the children.
It's for the children.
It's time once again for some deep fried theater!
All right, IDSers, I am joined by Kyle Odom, one of the Artistic Council Tribal Chiefs of Woven Theater and director of Tall Tales. So welcome, Kyle. How are you?
I'm doing well. I'm doing good. How about you?
I'm doing well. We're recording on a Thursday night, and we finally got our technology working, so I am outstanding. So for those our IDSers who are not quite familiar with the company, what is the Reader's Digest origin story of Woven Theater?
Woven started about 5 years ago with a trio of directors who just saw a lack of opportunities for young artists to get paid for their work and to create things. We just found people were able to be assistants, or you were the next level and you were in your 30s or 40s and you were the professional, and there was nowhere in between. So we made a space for ourselves to be able to work with younger artists and create work that no one else was going to pay us to do, and we'd pay people to do with us.
Outstanding. So how has it been for you as an artistic leader and or artist as you go through this process for yourself? Now that you've aged a little, how has the young guy developed? What do you think has been your big development through running this company for yourself from your start point to now?
I think the big change for me has just been an organizational admin kind of position, making sure things get taken care of. When we first started, we each took care of our own show pretty much by ourselves, and we're just also in a group together. But as it's gone on, the Artistic Council has kind of blossomed into a complete producing body that supports each other in every show all together. I'm glad we did it the first year the way we did, because it prove to all of us that we could do it by ourselves, right, but we don't have to.
Right, right. So what piece of advice would you give to a younger you about starting a theater company?
Marketing is super important. And is very easy to overlook.
Right, sure. Very simple, right?
Yeah.
If they don't know about it, they ain't going to show up.
Exactly. It's something that we took for granted. We're like, oh, people will come, they'll hear about it, but you have to really work to make sure people know what you're doing and when you're doing it.
Yeah, that's true. You know, it sounds simple enough, and you think that's what everybody would do, but I am amazed just from doing the podcast that I do, like, to see the theater company. Now, the ones that, because I can track numbers, right? So the theater companies that take my interview with their person, whoever it may be, and do more than just do one retweet of a tweet, you know?
Yeah.
It's amazing that I see on my end, they get a higher response to the particular episode versus the companies that just kind of go, right? And because I only release it once, you know, and it gets the one initial pop, and then, you know.
You got to constantly push.
Right.
Constantly.
Well, that's why I try to tell people, like, I think social media is like you sitting in the corner with a wadded up ball and you're throwing it in a crowded room and you're just throwing it against the wall.
Yeah.
And you have to throw it at different times and different angles and different speeds so that more people see that you're what you're doing. If you just kind of put it out there and just leave it alone, two people maybe see it, three people.
Exactly. You have to constantly be pushing to make sure someone new is seeing it or someone different is seeing it. Right. And not your base audience of people that come to all of your shows. Right. They're already going to see it and they're already coming.
So, well, speaking of shows, Tall Tales, as we record this, you're leading into your second weekend. Mm-hmm. So kind of give us the spiel about what the show is about, and then tell me kind of how your weekend thus far has been going.
In its simplest terms, Tall Tales is about being othered in the Deep South specifically. Mm. That otherness can come from a lot of different places. Being a pariah or not following the social norms and expectations of a community. This one is more specifically about what it's like to be a queer person in the Deep South in a small community and the kind of suffocation that can come along with that. The constant fear of who's going to see me hold someone's hand or what can I say in front of people without outing myself. Mm-hmm. Is what this show is really at its heart about. And it is a horror play. So we have a monster, as most horror things do.
Right.
And our monster is a manifestation of those kind of fears. The first weekend was a great time. Opening night was a packed house. The Barbershop's a really small, intimate theater. So once you get like that room really full, I mean, you're all really close together. And you're inches away from the actors, which made for a really interesting performance for a horror script or a horror genre.
Right.
That you are literally able to, you're inside of the action and not just as a casual observer.
Right, right. The fourth wall is about 3 millimeters thick. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So if you sneeze too hard, you're going to crash through it.
Yeah. Yeah. That's cool. I love that space because, you know, I worked with you guys last year on the Family Marcher and we rehearsed out there and we could always tell when someone went into the bathroom because we had the 60 cycle hum when they turned the fan on.
Yeah. we try to keep the light off when that sounds.
But, you know, but that's great. I mean, that's great that I love that kind of space where it is right here. I mean, there is no denying you're at a live event. So talk about the challenge or the joy or both of working in a space that intimate with this particular play.
Sure. So I love small, intimate venues, and I love using the venues as they sit and using the architecture that's already there. Mm. But that posed some challenges for our show is in that room, if you don't exit the room, there's only two entrances and exits, and they're on the same wall. Mm. So we are using the physical doors to the barbershop as our doors to the actual bar the play takes place in. So because of that, I mean, we have actors that are outside for very long stretches of time. We've got one actor who is outside the entirety of the show.
Mm.
And I don't know if you know, but on Sunday, there was a torrential downpour from the heavens. So some things got a little wet. Try to let those dry out and get those washed out. And I think in spaces like that, the thing you always have to be aware of is how much space you actually do have. Cause you can look at it when it's empty and go, oh, there's room for miles and days.
Right. Right.
But as soon as you put something in there, you realize how much little room you have.
Right.
But it kind of worked well on this one. That since the audience is so close to everything and everything is so immediate, it makes that, that connection and that like terror and fear and dread really, really palpable, because you can't like walk away from it, and you can't like get up during the show and go to a lobby and kind of like take a breath or a breather.
Right.
You're there the whole time. There's no getting out of it.
That's cool. So what was the story of this particular play? I mean, as far as its development, did it start in your Loom series and then 1 year and then move over, or is it just kind of, how did they get birthed?
Kind of. I mean, last year during the Loom, we did a queer horror play called The Pitchforks. And that kind of inspired our resident playwright to go, I want to try messing with something like that. Mm-hmm. And so last fall, they started toying around with the idea. I think the script is now in its ninth draft. And they started playing around the idea of horror on stage. And then I think with horror, you have to figure out what it is you're trying to dissect.
Mm.
And for our playwright, for them, it really was what it was like growing up in a small Alabama town, being one of the only queer people.
Mm.
So it was inspired by something that came out of a Loom, and we had a spot in October, and the play was in a pretty good place, first of the year. And we were like, do we want to do this? Do we want to get the play to the producible point? And so our player really, really went in on it. And we all, you know, read it as it went along, trying to help the development of it to get it ready for production in October. I mean, if you have an October slot and you have something that's horror related, like, why not do it?
Right. Fair enough. Fair point. And also to figure out what kind of, you know, horror angle you're going to have, whether it's
the, yeah, exactly,
you know, the psychological horror or the gory horror or the fantastic horror, you know. Yeah, so cool. So how has this play and your direction of this play, how has it pushed you as a director?
A lot of the subject matter just hits really, really close to home. Like it is so real. And for a couple of our actors, it's the same way. They're both queer people as well, playing the queer people in the show. And there are times where they're just like, this isn't just script on page. This is real life. I've experienced this. And with my partner, we've experienced that too. Of when we first moved into our neighborhood, we made sure we didn't like hug or kiss goodbye with the front door open, because we didn't know who in the neighborhood would see and what they might think and what problems that might cause.
Mm-hmm.
And so navigating that and just having real honest talks with my cast about it, this is real stuff. This isn't just some kind of fantastical it's not even hyper elevated, like what it feels like to be in that position.
Right.
It is so tangible, especially in, like a Christ haunted South where Christianity kind of permeates like the groundwater of where we are.
Right. And we're in the belt buckle, baby.
Oh, we are in the belt buckle hard. So that really did push me, a lot to connect with something on such a biographical level.
Mm-hmm.
And then from a technical element, I mean, in a bigger space or like a giant staff, this show might've been easier, but from a technical standpoint, we're doing a lot. We've got five CRT TVs on the set that are used constantly throughout the show, and four of them are hanging above our actors' heads on a floating platform. And so, like, technically, there's a lot happening in it. And with any good horror, sound design is really, really important. So on the sound design for the piece, I really pushed myself as well to the brinks of, like, how far can I go and how much can I do? A lot we talked about in the production of it is, how do you create a horror movie on stage with the horror movies being able to really hyper-focus? The director can push the audience where they want to, but how do you create that same kind of experience with the artifice surrounded by being in the theater?
Right.
So we landed halfway between horror movie and haunted house and play. We're somewhere in the crux of those three things.
Cool. Sounds pretty exciting. So I'm going to put you on the spot, and you're going to shout out your cast members?
Oh, sure. Yeah, I'll do that. So we have Amos Glass playing Dustin, Jack Tansey playing Noah, Josh Ian Kalla playing Jimmy, Cody Hartman playing Micah, Fiona Soul playing Cynthia, and Sam Kell playing our wonderful monster, the Elder.
Okay, cool. So I'm going to ask you this, and I know everybody's wonderful. I'm not going to ask you for your favorite performer. What I'm going to ask you is, you're talking to your buddies, you know, like you're talking to me, and you're saying, come see this show. Is there a moment or two that you have noticed that, oh, you wait till this happens, without trying to give away too much of a plot line, but is there moments in there that you would say, you would use as your pitch to your friends, like, come see, because this is so cool?
I think there are two moments I would do that with. There is one on the lighter end of the spectrum.
Mm-hmm.
There is a very long sequence about a weed vape pen in the show, which is very topical
right
now.
Right,
it's just such a, like, roaring good time, and it provides such a, like, funny light levity to the show, so we can take that really hard right angle later on. And then act one, scene four, when we first encounter our monster head on, without giving too much away, that moment watching the audience watch that part has been, oh, so much fun. People squirm in their seats and back off and literally put their hands over their face, because it freaks them out.
Oh, cool.
That's been really fun to watch people watch that.
Okay, cool. So where can we see it again, and how can we get tickets, and how long does it run, and all that kind of stuff?
So it is this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and next Friday, Saturday, and Sunday in the Barbershop Theater at 7:30 p.m. You can get your tickets at woventheater.org. You can get them from our Facebook page, and you can get them on Eventbrite by searching Tall Tales. Tickets are $15 for any performance. And I'll just shout out as well, on the 19th of October, our last Saturday, we're having a little after party after the show and putting on a horror movie on our TVs, having some food and some drink and some good time to close out our weekend.
Outstanding. And of course, I'll have links to that on the show notes page for this particular episode at www.inexplicabledumbshow.com. Well, thanks, man.
Well, thank you.
If you love the Inexplicable Dumb Show as much as I do, don't be shy about it. Go ahead and wear your feelings on your sleeve, or at least your chest. Head on over to our Cafe Press store and wear your support for the IDS proudly. www.cafepress.com/dumbshow.
That is it. I'd like to thank Kyle Odom of Woven Theater for stopping by today to talk about Tall Tales, which is their current offer at Woven Theater, and they're doing the performances out at Barbershop Theater here in Nashville. Ticket information we discussed in the body of the podcast will be found on the show notes page for this particular episode at www.inexplicabledumbshow.com.
dumbshow@gmail.com. Hey, do you want to be part of the Dumb Show? Then please do so by calling the voicemail line at 615-866-1282. Or put your thoughts in an email, podcast@inexplicabledumbshow.com. Or follow the show on Twitter, @inexplicableds, @I, inexplicable, D, S. Find out the latest comings and goings and whatnot for the show via our Twitter feed. So next week, we're going to get a little Ollie's Diner in. We'll be back out at Chaffin's Barn. So until next week, this is John Malden saying, hey, I'll see ya. Bye.
Are you a music lover? Then let Magnatune dazzle you with how different we are from the rest of the music industry. Interesting independent artists in diverse genres. Perfect quality wave files in addition to MP3s and many other formats. Instant album downloads or traditional CDs by mail with free shipping. All this and half of every sale goes directly to the artist. So visit us now at magnatune.com. That's M-A-G-N-A-T-U-N-E. Magnitude. We are not evil.
This podcast is a member of the Blueberry Network. Blueberry. No E's. That's Blueberry, BLUBRRY.com. Blueberry.com.
Pop Alternative Media.